Aaron, welcome to our home. Welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Higher Self. In 30 seconds or less, why should someone listen to this episode in its entirety?
Because human design is a tool to step into our potential in every area of our lives, and it gives us a roadmap to get there. And so it feels like there are few people that would not benefit from that.
I love that. I love that. Human design, we had my friend Abby on here.
Yeah.
And we had so many people asking about it and wanting information on it. And so many, you know, went to our link to get the report. And it's a conversation that I thought, you know, we should get more perspectives on it. So I'm really looking forward to diving into this. How did you find out about human design?
In the most serendipitous way, it was definitely not my career plan. I was living in New York City in 2015, and I sat next to a stranger who asked to read my human design chart. I had never heard of human design, nor had anyone I knew, but I was like, tell me everything. And he gave me the most accurate, insightful, and confronting reading I'd ever received. And he ended the conversation by saying, Aaron, I think you're meant to do this. Which is interesting because human design is not predictive. He just observed a lot of potential in my design and our relationship. And so he was my first teacher. And it's been an amazing, rocky, wild, beautiful journey since then. But that's how it all began.
I love that. And I love that you use the word confrontive, right? So you said accurate, which I know human design is. But what about it was like confronting?
Yeah, great question. I think when I discovered my design, I was in the entrepreneurial scene in New York City. I was just like hustling and working so hard. And I was like, I'm a doer. I'm just going to go so hard. And my human design chart is the opposite of that. I'm a projector in human design. It's all about not being a doer. It's about being a leader and a guide and a teacher. And so it was confronting in that it felt so true, but I'd been ignoring that my entire life. And I didn't quite believe I could build a career or a life around that way of operating. And so I find that human design can be confronting. It can be really validating if we're already on that path and living it. But if we're not, we recognize like, oh, I've been ignoring that part of myself and there's something there I need to explore.
Yeah. I can see how that must have been confronting because through the work that we do, you know, we see that a lot of times we create our lives based off of, you know, this old energy, this old paradigm, this old belief system, an old wounding, for example, that thrusts us into this need of being a different version of the truth of who we are. And it sounds to me like what you're saying is that the human design report gave you access into like your true self. Like I want to dive deeper into this. Like what did that feel like to see like, okay, here's me now. Here's how I'm living my life now. But this I know possible. this is resonating.
Yeah. I think I felt really relieved because I think I was enjoying my life, but I also felt like this is like working, but it feels a little bit weird. It doesn't feel like I'm like all the way in here. And so I think having my first teacher kind of articulate a different way to me was just like, oh, this is why those things aren't working because I'm not meant to do it that way. And I think the magic of human design is that it just reminds us that we are all wired to do things so differently, whether it's how we build our businesses or parent or show up in partnership or build businesses or anything. And so I think from that moment forward, I showed up in community differently. I built my business entirely differently. My friendships changed. The way that I interact with my family changed. So I think that I just really leaned into a way of doing things that felt so much more authentic. And then obviously was so much more fruitful and successful once I really allowed that.
I don't know about you, but it helped me in this way. Do you find that life, career / all of it just starts to flow way easier?
Oh yeah.
And as a result of that flow, it just gets way more abundant because you are living in your true authentic self. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, it's so true. I mean, it's so funny because when I discovered human design, I was like, this is so cool. Like, I'm just going to tell all my friends. I was never like planning to like build a business around it, you know? And now it's like, we've had like 40,000 people study human design with me. I'm just like, how did that happen? That was like never the plan, you know? And so I just feel like human design has really reminded me what it feels like to be in alignment and to just trust that. And what I love about that is that I love the work that I do with human design. And I also like, I don't feel attached to it. In 5 years, if it changes, in a year, if it changes, I also really trust that, because I think human design has helped me understand how to make decisions in the most empowered way in every part of my life, and to just keep doing that over and over and over again.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I for me, I remember that it gave me so much insight, right? So if somebody's out there listening, like, let's go into it. What kind of insights does it offer to people?
Yeah. Great question. So it offers on the type level, on the highest level, it kind of lets us know how we can use our energy most productively, and also what our innate gifts are. It lets us know how we're designed to create opportunities, which is really useful, because some people are meant to just go after things, whereas others are meant to let things come to them. It lets us know how to make decisions, which, you know, I think is probably the most important part of our design. I'm so curious to hear about your experience with your way of making decisions. It lets us know all the areas that we can be the most challenged and pulled off track, which I find to be incredibly useful, because I still get pulled off track every day, but I'm like, I see what's happening, and then I come back. It lets us know, you know, how to market ourselves, how to discover our purpose, how to, like, what our innate strengths are. So it's kind of endless. You probably discovered that. But, you know, it doesn't mean you have to learn it all. I think the simplest information is often the most impactful. But I think it really lets us know how to show up to life in a really authentic way for us, and also in a very actionable way.
Do you find with the people that you work with,
yeah,
that not only does it do all of that, which is, I think, a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
But on top of it, does it show them ways in which, like, I guess I'll best describe it. Like, I remember that part of the way I am is that I always want the truth.
Yeah.
And I always, like, look for the truth. And my mind won't shut down sometimes,
yeah,
until I, like, find it. And then, like, when I read it in my humanness, I was like, oh my God. Like, no wonder. So it, yeah, kind of helps me, and maybe it's helped some of your clients, yeah, think, like, I'm not crazy.
No, exactly.
This is just the way I am.
Totally.
And as a matter of fact, it, like, relieves,
yeah,
a little bit.
And we so often make ourselves wrong for that. We're like, oh, that's, like, a flaw of mine. And I think human design's like, no, that's an actual gift. Is that the one in your profile? Do you remember where it comes from?
See, that's another thing about
me.
I'm not very detail-oriented. I just, like, I know I'm a projector. I mean, a reflector, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the piece that comes up when I hear you say that is, and let me know if you resonate with this, is a need to just, like, really understand things on a very deep foundational level. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, you kind of have to, like, keep investigating and inquiring to kind of see what's there. And that's such a motivation for you, but it might not be a motivation for other people. You know, your desire to go deep, like, you might be working with people or partnered with people that just aren't interested in the same level of depth.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So let's start with the basics, right?
Okay.
You know, I know that there are different types of,
yes,
humans out there.
Yeah.
But before we even do that, like, I once heard a story that resonated so much with me that, you know, I want to get a little deep into spirituality here and energy and us as human beings. But I once heard a story that, you know, back in the day when there were slaves, for example, that there were only two types of designs, that there was only, like, that,
yeah,
maybe the reflectors hadn't shown up.
Yeah, there's certain types that came later.
Yeah,
projectors too. Yeah.
Could you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's just that, you know, I think that the types have evolved with time. You know, I think that with your type as a reflector, which is 1% of the population, like, they didn't exist. Neither did projectors, you know? And so I think we're starting to see more and more of these more rare types come, because I think their roles are really important. And I think specifically, I'm just so curious to hear about your experience of being a reflector.
Yeah.
But I think that a reflector is somebody who's really here to kind of just observe an environment, a community, a society, and just kind of mirror back all the things that they see. And so much of your gift is not in your ability to just, like, do and hustle, but it's in how you see the world. And your perspective is invaluable, because you see, sense, and feel things that most people miss.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of perspective is so needed right now in a way that maybe it hasn't always been, in that, like, you're able to kind of see what's not working and share insights that can really enable and facilitate progress.
Yeah.
But it requires that you see that gift and you're not kind of lost in the grind of trying to go, go, go and do.
It's so interesting that you bring that up, because, you know, like you,
yeah,
in my previous life, I was a real estate broker.
Yeah.
And I used to teach in,
yeah,
my seminars and in everything that, yeah, I did, go, 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 do.
Totally.
And then I, you know, for me, it was ayahuasca. Yeah. I sat with ayahuasca, and ayahuasca helped me to like reconnect to my heart.
Yeah.
And helped me to say, wait a minute, hang on. Like, you know, you don't necessarily have to operate that way.
Totally.
And then I read it in The Human Design, and I was like, oh, this is not only making sense. This is making sense why my journey has been this. It's yes. almost as if like my journey has been to like connect to here. Yeah. And now it's interesting. I'm the exact opposite. Like, I don't like to work at all now, but I feel so powerful. And I feel that all of us have this power yeah. that I could literally just attract
yeah.
everything that I was working so hard for before. Yeah. I literally could just sit back, relax, and just like, it just flows in.
Yeah.
And I remember reading it in the design for sure.
What's also so interesting thinking about working in real estate, because part of being a reflector is the fact that you amplify any space that you're in. And so you just feel it all, and you're just going to like express it all very intensely. And so if you're in a space that's like, go, 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 like you're going to be like, I'm going the hardest, you know?
I was the king of the
where, go, go, so go. It just, I think it's so important for reflectors to be so ruthless about where they spend time, about who they spend time with. Because if you're going to amplify the space that you're in, you might as well be super intentional about what that space is. And part of being a reflector is that that space is going to keep changing.
That's right.
And so really giving yourself permission to just surrender to that.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring that up, but that's, if I can say this, but I also, not only because of the reflector part, but because of our purpose and the work that we do, it's like I'm able to watch and how like when certain people's energy is no longer a match
yeah.
for me on the personal level or for our mission,
yeah.
you know, like I'm able to, and this I want to share with you guys because it's, you know, whenever you hear me make a post about like, be careful with people's energy because, you know, it is impacting you. It's because I literally have felt it in my life, right? Mm-hmm. I remember I had some friends in particular who, you know, they were always around, always at the events, always everywhere. And then one day they were just like disappeared. And I started to realize once they disappeared, how they were kind of holding it all back mm-hmm. because of this weird icky control mm-hmm. energy mm-hmm. and quite frankly it was something I always felt
yeah
but I was afraid to like articulate or deal with because they totally. Were friends
yeah
which now you understand if you're out there listening why I always say on the posts
yeah
it's like you have to have courage to speak your truth
yeah
and you have to have courage to you know be able to understand who is good for you and who is bad. It all comes from totally. That reflector part of me.
Totally. And also that permission to just keep changing, where it's like they once were so right for me and they're just not anymore. And that's okay. You know, how can I keep rolling with that?
It's interesting, you know, and then I want to get onto projectors yeah. next, but it's interesting because like just last week, you know, I've actually been like messing with Casper about this. You know, we've been talking so much about, you know, masculine and feminine energy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in hindsight, there is nothing wrong with speaking about masculine and feminine energy.
Yeah.
The problem is that the world is caught up in these words, in yeah. these paradigms.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a video, for example, that was two lions.
Yeah.
A male and a female lion.
Yeah.
And, you know, the video was like the female lion in the front saying, you know, she feels, you know, powerful because yeah. of, you know, who's behind her.
Yeah.
And everyone had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, how come she can't be powerful on her own? Mm-hmm. And how come she needs a man behind her? And how come? And it's like, whoa, like I didn't realize because I don't live there. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how deep the wound is that's being created in the yeah. world right now. Yeah. And that's causing everyone to fight with each other. And it's causing yeah. everyone to stay away from and not being able to receive love.
Yeah.
All because of gender.
Yeah.
But I see it and I feel it. And just this week, I was like, no, I'm going to start talking about it again. Because
yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is just too much for me. You know, because yeah. I feel all the energy. And now it's like, no, there's a purpose here.
There's a thing to be said. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I think one thing that I've really seen with reflectors is because they feel so much, they can sometimes personalize that stuff as their own or try to fix it or resolve it. And so it's important for them to kind of cultivate a healthy sense of detachment where they can see all the things that are happening, but also not get lost in it, because so much of your gift is being an objective observer, you know, and kind of witnessing it. So I'm just curious, especially in the world of social media, like, are you able to maintain that detachment? Because that's so much of where the wisdom comes from. I hear what you're saying here, where you're like, I'm feeling all the heat, and also like, there's still a thing to be talked about, and I'm going to move that conversation forward. Like, how do you?
That's a great question. If I'm honest with you, I kind of have to go through it.
Yeah.
See the lesson.
Yeah.
Feel it all.
Yeah.
And then like come back as a different version of myself. Yeah. So in this case, if you'll you know, the Instagram followers, they'll understand. Yeah. I hate that word. The Instagram community, my apologies. They will know and remember that I made a post and I was like, look, I'm done talking about masculine and feminine energy. This is way too much.
Yeah.
Because it was literally like, I would feel it in my chest. Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is a lot. But then I saw the other side of it. I saw, wait a minute. Like, why are you so attached to, by the way, not even your community and the community that you're serving, but it's everyone out there and all the pain.
Yeah.
Why are you so attached to, like, essentially you're attached to the pain.
Yeah.
And the fear in you.
Yeah.
That's the truth, right? Yeah. There's a part of you that instead of speaking the absolute truth is still somewhat attached to what people are going to feel when they hear that truth.
Yeah.
Which you can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay in that space where you are attached to that, it's going to limit the truth of what you're here to do.
Yeah.
So then I go, and then I go, fuck it, I'm going to talk about it. You know, that's how I do it, basically, you know?
Yeah.
I wish I was smarter and I wish I was better, but it's like, I kind of have to go through the pain, learn the lesson.
And then let it go.
And then,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next is projectors.
Projectors. So projectors are really here to be teachers, leaders, guides, advisors, not here to do all the doing, similar to reflectors in that way. Like I shared, when I discovered I was a projector, I had been trying so hard to be everything but that. As projectors, our energy really ebbs and flows. So really creating moments of pause and rest in our days is so important. And we are often so naturally wise about people. And so there's a lot of coaches and therapists and teachers and coaches that are projectors. I think I have always loved people. I've always loved asking questions. I never thought I could build a career around it, you know? And now I'm just like, oh, human design is just a way to better understand people. So it's such a good fit for me. But I will say, as a projector, I've never built a business alone. You know, I've always partnered with a generator or a manifesting generator, because I haven't really expected myself to do it all. And so that's been really important, building a business that really allows me to kind of be in my projector energy. And then the last piece I would share for projectors is that we aren't meant to initiate or chase after anything. We're meant to wait to be invited, which was really hard for me at the beginning, because I was like, I would like to go chase things, you know, and make things happen. But I think what I've learned is that if people are not ready for my insights, it will go over their head and I'm going to feel really bitter. And so one way I can protect my energy is to conserve it and to share my insights only with those who ask. And so that's been a big change in my own life.
You know, so much came up in that. First, I want to talk about, you know, for those of you that are business owners, there's an incredible book out there called Rocket Fuel. And in Rocket Fuel, I think the author's name is Gino Wickman. And in the fuel, it talks about how, like, there's like two roles that must be filled in every business in order for it to succeed. It's like the I forgot the actual terminology. It's the innovator, the one with the ideas, so forth and so on. And then the one that like gets things done.
Yeah.
And I remember for me, what's coming up is I remember realizing and finally being okay.
Yeah.
I'm not this guy.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's even like we're writing a book right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could talk for days.
Yeah.
But get me to write a book, I can't. So now Emily, my book writer, she's helping me with this. I think what you're saying is like what the human design does is it helps you to understand, like, this is who I am.
Totally.
And it is beautiful that I am who and what I am.
Yeah.
And this is also what I am not.
100%.
And it is beautiful and perfectly okay that I am not that.
Totally.
And I think that alone, I mean, my God, how many people get ill?
Yeah.
How many people deal with stress and anxiety because they're in this constant confusion and this battle of who they think they need to be?
Totally.
when human design could just show you.
100%, you know, and like, it was such a lesson where I'm like, I'm actually not great at operations. I'm not great at strategy. And it's like, that's fine. You know, I can partner with somebody who is so excellent at that. And I can be really, really good at human design. One thing I just want to say around the book thing. I don't know if you've played with this with your book, with your collaborator, but in your design, it actually might be useful for somebody to just ask you questions, because when you're just given the space to
I can't believe you just said that. I can't believe you just said that, because I literally just go, just ask me a question.
Totally. Because like, you often like don't know what you're going to say until like the prompt is there. And so if somebody's just like asking questions and pulling your truth out of you, it probably is going to be a really organic way to actually just like get it all out.
Are you ready to discover your true power, potential, and purpose? On January 20th, I'm hosting a live 2-day virtual experience called Discover. On day one, I'll help you uncover the root of what is holding you back from having a life full of love, fulfillment, and abundance. On day two, I'll show you how to heal old wounds, making drastic changes, and start living the life you've always wanted. This is more than an event. It's the start of your journey to awakening your highest self. Join me at DannyMorrell.com/discover.
And by the way, I hope you guys are getting, it's like, I don't want to focus too much on me here. I want you to see how the way it works in me is a way in which it could work in you as well, totally. Right? But it's like, awaken my event.
Yeah.
You know, I drive my team crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're like, where are the notes? Where are the notes? We need the key point. And like, I kid you not, 30 minutes prior to arriving, I'm like, just give me the microphone and I'll get up there and I'll do what I gotta do.
Can I tell you what your design says about that too? Yeah. Which is very similar, is that you just like don't know what you're gonna say until the audience is there. And so while you can write and create an outline, like, it's not until you're actually in their energy that you're gonna be like, this is what they need to hear in this moment. And so for your design specifically, it's so recommended to like actually just surrender and wait for the inspiration to come, because you often say the thing that needs to be heard in the moment, but you cannot plan it and you cannot predict it.
And that is why half of the time, Juanita, I hope you're listening, by the way, that is why half of the time my team is like, give me the notes and the keynote. And I'm like, I literally feel like a buffoon.
Yeah.
I can't.
No, you're doing it perfectly.
I can't.
Yeah.
But when it's time,
yeah,
But
like you said, I think that everyone's going to have very different designs, but I think this is just a really amazing example of just, oh, what is the process that's going to work for us?
That's right.
And what's going to work for me? And like, yes, this worked for my partner or my friend or some other business coach, but like, it doesn't mean it will work for me. I can't tell you how often I've sat with clients that took, you know, some business coaching program or something where they're like, okay, this is like my rubric for how to build a business. And then they try and they're like, it didn't work for me. I'm like, well, of course not. It was like so misaligned with your design. So
you know what's coming up for me? Talk to me about being a woman in a world that tells you that you have to go out and do. And here you are. Like, I want to take a moment away from human design, because we have a lot of women that listen to this. And here you are saying, I tried that.
Yeah.
But like, now I'm in my power. Like, what was that journey like for you? And like, what are the results of that journey? Like, show me like the Aaron prior, the Aaron now, like before and after.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that, you know, I grew up in my 20s, again, in this like really intense hustling entrepreneurial scene in New York City. And it was so fun. And I was pushing so hard. But like, one, I was like totally disconnected from how much energy I actually had. You know, I'd like get home and I would just be like, I would be drinking coffee, you know, like 9 p.m. Like, what in the world? Like, I was just so burnt out. And I was so, again, I don't want to say disconnected in all the ways, but I was just like pushing so hard and didn't have many results from it. Mm-hmm. And I think when I stepped into a way of operating that was so much more around just like riding the natural currents of my energy and not forcing myself to go, 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 and to really conserve my energy, one, I became far more successful. And I don't even just mean financially, but like, I just felt better. I was like in relationships where I felt appreciated. Like, I felt so much more energized. I felt so much more excited. It felt like the things I was doing were like high leverage, high value activities that really had an impact. And so I think that where I am now, and I'm still learning, you know, I'm a new mom. So it's just like, there's a lot of things I'm balancing right now. But I think that I have learned that when I'm pushing in that way, it is impossible for me to connect to my gifts. And whereas when I'm really rested and relaxed and honoring my energy, that's when my gifts come alive. And so as hard as it can be to trust that it's okay to rest in that way, I just know that everybody benefits when I do. My clients, my daughter, my husband, literally everybody. And so I think that, you know, I still run up against it all the time, but I just like, I'm always learning and trusting that like rest is good. Space is good.
How do you do that? Because again, you know, there's a lot of women out there that are trying to find their place in this world.
Yeah.
And the thing that I get a lot is that like, but I'm a single mother.
Totally.
But I'm a single mother. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. And also I'm not a single mother. So I have, you know, a partner right now, but I do ask for help all the time. And like both paid help, but also like I asked my neighbors for help, especially in raising my daughter. I was like, I need help, you know, and they would just like run over. And I was like, I know that I need support. And so like, I'm just going to open myself to it wherever I can receive it, because it was just a lot, especially at the beginning. But I will say that like, you know, if you have like, if your schedule is back to back to back all day, it's probably hard to imagine, you know, I'm going to really be rested and relaxed. But I would say I would not underestimate the impact of just giving yourself like 5 minutes alone on the bathroom floor, laying down, and just like giving yourself a moment to come back to yourself. And I think that like I've definitely found this year that like I've had to find these pockets for myself, and really small pockets, but they've been really, really meaningful. And so I know that it's, you know, it might not all be feasible at first, but just giving yourself a moment, you know, because I know that if I'm like pushing, it's just diminishing returns. But if I give myself just a moment to myself, it's like I come back energized and I like have so much more to give. And so I think that I'm just learning to listen to myself a little bit more. And I find that I'm so much more effective when I do that.
Yeah. So beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful. I think, you know, man or woman, if you're out there, it's how can you give what you don't have?
Totally. You know, and I've learned that so much as a mother. You know what I mean? It's just like when I don't give myself a moment, you know, and also like my daughter just like loves playing by herself. And I'm like, oh, enjoy yourself. I'll be right over here on the couch. That's okay. You know, and really just allowing that. But I think that there's a lot of conditioning that it's not okay to give ourselves that space.
Sure. Absolutely. What would be the, so we have reflector, projector, right?
Next, I would say generators. And manifesting generators.
Okay.
And then we've got one more after that. Gen's a generator.
Gen, yeah.
Yeah. So let me talk about them just together and then separate, because there are a lot of nuances. But generators and manifesting generators are the doers, the ones that have so much powerful energy to kind of build and create and make things happen when they are genuinely lit up and excited by what they're doing. So I don't know if you've experienced this with Jen, but I'm married to a generator. So I know the partnership well, but I would say the more lit up she is, the more energy you have. And so one of the best ways we can support generators is like giving them space to like do what they love. And like, it's so tempting to, at least for me, to rely on my generator husband to like handle so many things because he's so capable. And I think a big lesson for me is like, just because he can do so much doesn't mean he should. And how can I give him a lot of space to kind of do the things that he loves?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that at all with Jen?
It's funny you're bringing this up, because Jen, like, I hold Jen to such a high regard.
Yeah.
I literally think she is one of the, I don't think one of, I think she's the smartest woman on the planet. Like,
yeah.
She is just so smart and so connected, and it's all so easy for her. Like, it really, really is, you know? And yet, what you're saying is ringing true, because Jen will literally like have brands like message her and say like, hey, could you post this for us and we'll pay you X amount?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't even have to work, right?
Yeah.
But it's like prior to meeting me, maybe you have some insight into this. Prior to meeting me, she was building her social media platform. Yeah. She was doing her yoga thing.
Yeah.
And then she met me and all of a sudden, like, she is like, she's chill. She's like way in her feminine, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I'm, and again, to all of the audience, this is why I speak about this. I speak about this because, you know, when you are in the right energy and you find a partner who gives you the space, it's so true what you say.
Yeah.
Like, all I want to do is give her the space to like be who and what she wants to be.
Yeah.
Then like, as a woman, you get to like take it.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is, whether you're ready to go do your thing or not, like,
totally.
I just want to provide her the freedom for that, you know?
Yeah.
But my shadow, I think, is that like, I see so much potential in her.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I see so many women out there that could use that, like, that realness and authenticity that she offers, that I'm like, come on, baby, let's post. Let's like do something. And she doesn't want to right now.
Right.
She's not inspired. Yeah.
And well, a couple things come up. One is like, it's, I can just like really, you know, empathize with you here because there are moments where I'm just like, can we do this now? And my partner is just like, no,
no.
And like, and he's so helpful. He's like, it's either now or not now. And like, when it's now, it's really now, but until then it's not. And like, and the thing is when Jen has a really strong gut response and it gives her now, she can make that thing happen so powerfully,
yeah.
And so fast. And so it's worth waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
But also two other things.
Her mom says this all the time.
Oh, really?
By the way, babe, you have to come in. Yeah, her mom says, just come here. Just come here. She's looking at us right now like we're crazy.
We are talking about you?
Yeah, we're talking about you right now.
No, I'm in my pajamas.
That's okay. You could just, we could still hear you in the show. But we're talking about how I'm trying to like get you to like post and stuff. And she's saying that as a generator, it's like when you're in, you're in. And when you're out, you're out.
You just have to wait for the moment.
You just have to wait for the moment.
That's why I keep telling him. Yeah.
I will, now you know. Wait, yeah. can I share about two pieces of your design now that you're here? Yeah. Another really cool piece around being a generator, and I think you know this, is that you're meant to be super magnetic. Like, you're not really meant to chase after anything. Like, the more you're doing what you love, like, you just attract things your way. And your job is to just keep your awareness open and see what sparks you and lights you up. And then once the yes is there, you can, like, go after and make it happen. Have you noticed that magnetic piece?
Oh,
that's very me.
That's 100%.
And I'm going, like, all in, all out.
Totally. Okay, can I share one more piece? Yeah. Okay. Only because you talked about kind of the ease. You know, you're a 2-4 profile in human design. I don't know if you've dug into this.
I told her that everything is easy for you. Like easy.
You're just like really meant to lean into the things that feel very innate and very easy. And sometimes you might be like, I don't know if I can like really get paid for this thing. It just comes so naturally. But like the things that come naturally are exactly the places where you're meant to put your energy. And so really trusting that.
Yeah. So I think I have to stop bugging her about posting on Instagram.
And you can even just ask. You can say, is this the right time to post? And her gut responds well to specific questions. So let her just be like, no.
No, I want it now. I want to help people now.
But you see it, you know?
I totally get it. Yeah, totally get it. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was just cool because we were talking about this. And yeah. So, okay. Beautiful.
Did you save me?
All right, so that's generators.
Beautiful generators. Yeah. And then manifesting generators are very similar in many ways. I would say the distinction here is that they're quite multi-passionate. They might like moving their energy in between many different things. Their careers can be very nonlinear. These are my clients that are like, I just opened a dance studio. I'm also a practicing lawyer. I'm also like opening a life coaching business. Like they just cannot be put into one box. And often manifesting generators have been made to feel scattered when they're actually meant to be so multi-passionate. So really allowing that.
And, you know, and how about the flip side of that? How about how many people look at a manifesting generator and go, wow, why can't I be more like that?
Such a great point. And like, and I think whenever I do partnership sessions and I'm sitting with somebody who's partnered with a manifesting generator or working with one, I'm just like, don't try to keep up with them. Like be expanded by their energy, like enjoy their passion, but like don't try to match it because like they can feel like a little bit superhuman to many of us, but that is their gift, moving fast, moving in between many different things. But again, we can be like, I can't keep up, but we're not meant to because that's not where our gifts lie.
You know what's so funny? It's like, and I really want this to be medicine for you guys out there, but this is so important because like I didn't start becoming the real me until I let go of the need to be like that.
Yes.
Because when I was in the go, go, go world,
totally.
You know, I'm just starting to see the manifesting generators are the ones that can like, you know, run like several businesses and do, and I'm all about like, I just need to do like me.
Totally.
Right? Like if I do me, everything comes, yes. Right? But like that guy over there, like, my God, like how does he do that?
Totally.
And when I finally just let go and started like bringing myself into me is when everything. So this is why this conversation is so important, right? It's so important. And I want to challenge all of you to like, as we're saying these different profiles, try to take a guess, which one are you?
Totally.
Yeah. And try to take a guess, which one is your partner?
Right. And I think like, you know, in the world of relationships, I find human design to be such a powerful tool because it gives us so much empathy for both, you know, for other people and so much compassion because we're like, oh, this has been hard because I wanted you to be someone else. I wanted you to be more similar to me, or this has been hard for me because I've been trying to be like you. Mm-hmm. And I think the magic of human design, whether it's in our romantic partnerships or you know, our team environments, is it helps us understand how different we each are and how we can kind of support one another's uniqueness. But I think the manifesting generator example is such a perfect one.
I love it.
I had a client quickly who had a manifesting generator daughter, and he was a generator. And I remember him coming to me and being like, Erin, I'm so frustrated with her. Like, she's doing lacrosse, she's doing softball, she's doing soccer. Like, she's not choosing just one. And like, he like chose a sport and stayed with it like through college. And I was like, she's doing it perfectly. And he was like, what? And he was so frustrated, not because she was non-committal, but because she was different. And human design was just like the pathway towards understanding how different they were and just having a lot more compassion for her.
Talk about, I mean, how important it is for all of us as parents
to know
our children's human design. Because when we do not know who they are, we try to make them who we are.
100%.
And that's where the clashing happens.
Totally. I mean, human design can be so powerful in so many contexts, but I would say probably the most powerful one is 100% parenting, because so often we live our designs very purely when we're young, and then we kind of get conditioned out of it. We think we're supposed to be something else. You go become a real estate amazing person, but it's not aligned with your design. And then later in life, we kind of return to ourselves. I was so aligned with my projector nature when I was young. So as a parent, I just feel so lucky to know my daughter's design. She's young, but I'm just like, oh, like I have no expectation she'll be anything like me. And her design is opposite of mine in every single way. Mm. And it's just so useful to know that now.
Yeah. Because you're not pulling out your hair.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't wait to like discover who you are, because it's definitely not me.
That's right.
Yeah.
We got Selena's done literally like it was funny.
It took us 12 minutes.
Because Jen was literally like, you know, on the table, like having her, we're like, what time was it? Okay, go. Let's get it done. It was like, it was instantly.
It was well, no, I remember that too. I literally just given birth and my husband looked her up. He's like, she's a manifesting generator. I was like, oh my God. You know, it's amazing.
That is wonderful. Wonderful. Is there another one?
One more type. The last type is a manifester.
Manifester.
Do you know any manifestors?
No.
Okay. Manifestors are very innovative, disruptive forces. These are people that are really here to kind of get things started and get the ball rolling. They're here to be quite provocative, but they're not really here to like do all the doing to keep an idea alive. Their energy is starting things. So where manifestors can struggle is that they pressure themselves in their life to keep completing things when their gift is actually just starting them. And their energy often really ebbs and flows, where they can be on fire for a month and they need to kind of rest for the following month. And so really honoring those currents as well. And they're here to initiate. So many of us are here to let things come to us. Manifestors are really here to just pursue and make things happen.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Why does it feel like I'm that one too?
Well, as a reflector, there's going to be a part of you that resonates with all of them. Because the thing is, over the course of a month, you're going to have days where you feel like a manifesting generator, a manifester, a projector, a generator. So like in some ways you experience them all, just none consistently. But tell me, what is the part that resonates the most with that one?
I mean, it's just that. It's like when I'm on fire, it's like I come up with an idea. Ask him.
Now I need to look at your design.
I probably, this poor guy, I don't know how he's still working with me, but I'm like, Casper, we are going to take over the world. There's like AI is coming. It's going to like destroy everything. We have to help people get into their hearts. Like we need 10,000 people at Awaken. And he's just trying to like keep up.
Totally.
And then like he won't hear from me for a week.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great reminder, because one, you know, there's so many parts of our design that can speak to these pieces. But as a reflector, your gift is not your consistency. In that like you might be on fire for a week. It doesn't mean that you'll be on fire the next week.
Yeah.
And so like, there might be a week where you can make more happen than anyone else.
Yeah.
Then a week where you're just like, I'm going to be in my little cave.
I feel like that 1,000,000%.
So you and manifestors are very similar in that way. Another piece that feels very similar to manifestors for you is that your 5-1 profile, which I know is human design jargon, but it basically means that you're here to be very innovative in the way that you see the world. Like you're here to be a little bit disruptive and very heretical and like just like here to have like a very big impact. It's not about impacting the people close to you. It's about impacting a really big community.
Can I tell you, I don't think I've ever actually said this,
but
you know the way in which that shows up to me the most? Like what I constantly think about is how to help people get back to here.
Yeah.
That's all I think about. And I feel like that's my motivation, because I lived for so long up here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know how unfulfilling it is to live life up here. So literally everything that I do, the events that we have, the podcast, everything, it's about helping people to look at, become aware of, and remove the parts of them that drove us up here to help us all return to our hearts.
Yeah.
And when you say disruptive, I feel as though one of the most, this, I'm just going to say it, and it's going to require courage to say it, but I feel like one of the biggest things out there that, like, I feel like eventually I'm going to, like, just focus on is, like, religion. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm honest, religion and my religious beliefs were the most disruptive part of my life. It was the most controlling part of my life. It was the part of me that kept me in guilt, in shame, in thinking that human design is wrong and astrology is wrong and everything is wrong and everything mm-hmm. is the devil. And it kept me believing in something called the devil, and it kept me constantly in fear. And so it's like, I never actually said this, but like, it my one of my like greatest motivations in life is helping people to see the truth about that. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, until you get past that,
yeah,
like if everything is wrong,
yeah,
it's your mind's way of keeping barriers and blockages around and defending the story and the paradigm that you're in.
Yeah.
So you never access the truth of your heart.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. It breaks my heart because, and it's why my mom died the way she died. Mm. It's like, it was a perfect story. It's like, My mom died the way that she died so that I could see the pain in that, and it could give me the motivation to do it. I guess I'm just telling you that, like, when they say disruptive, how disruptive I see us being for the world is, like, mm-hmm. it's kind of big.
Well, I also love that application because, again, one of your gifts as a reflector is being able to kind of observe a thing, whether it's religion or a society or community, and see, like, where things aren't working and where things need change. And so it feels like you also have such a perspective mm-hmm. on how things can evolve and, like, and the differences that can be made. And that's so much your gift of being able to kind of step back and see it.
And I feel like that's why, like, when people come to awaken, they leave, like, literally, because yeah. I go after it all.
Yeah.
We talk religion, we talk politics, we talk racism, we yeah. talk, like, all of it is an illusion that we create.
Yeah.
And until we allow ourselves to have the courage to step away from it and just open up to see, well, what if this is a belief, but it's a belief that is keeping me from another part of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pretty deep.
Well, it also reminds me, I think that, like I said, there's a part of human design that reveals how we make decisions, and none of us are meant to make decisions from our mind. Yet so often we're just rationalizing, I should do this, I shouldn't. We're talking ourselves out of our knowings. And I think human design helps us know how to make decisions in a much kind of deeper way within us, whether it's trusting our gut, like Jen, whether it's following your heart, whether it's talking things out, whether it's seeing what remains true over time. But none of us are meant to be logical in the way that we approach it mm-hmm. because there is just a deeper knowing, and human design reminds us how to access that. And so I love hearing that you're just doing that mm-hmm. because I find that that is such a liberating thing for people to hear.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, I like talked myself out of doing this thing that I knew that I wanted to do. And human design just validates, like, you knew. Trust them next time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know that I'm a strong believer and advocate for plant medicine and its ability to awaken and heal the mind, body, and soul. It's a belief that is deeply rooted in my own personal experience with both ayahuasca and psilocybin mushrooms. And many of you for years have always asked me, you know, Danny, where do I go? Who can I trust? And there is only one place I would ever recommend or put my name behind, and that is Reunion. Reunion is a place where you could set yourself free from whatever is holding you back from living the life of your dreams. It's a beachfront, beautiful property that is in Costa Rica. And what I love about it is that it's not for profit. And this is the only thing that they focus on is the preservation and the safe utilization of these beautiful, wonderful medicines.
And I only feel comfortable putting my name behind it because I am personal friends and have journeyed with some of the members of the facilitating team. Guys, I'm honored to have aligned myself with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. It's a fund whose purpose is in helping people who don't have the means to experience these medicines and yet have the desire to. And every time one of you books a retreat with Reunion, $100 from every booking is going to go into this fund, and we will be sharing this money with people on a monthly and bi-monthly basis. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when you go to register to experience your own life transformational journey. To find out more, go to reunionexperience.org and get ready.
How does human design show up in relationship?
So in relationship, you know, so many applications. I think why I think it's so powerful in a relationship is, like I said, I think friction happens when we want someone to be different than what they are or more similar to us. And I think human design is an amazing tool to look at two people and talk about all the ways that they're different. And so basically my experience is when we do that, people start taking so much less personally and they just like really start to understand each other and know how to work with each other. Like I think if I'm going to look at you and Jen as an example, you guys are meant to make decisions very differently. I don't know whether you've experienced this, but Jen is actually meant to be pretty fast. When her gut gives her a yes, like there's no need to wait. It's just like, I go now. Whereas you are meant to give yourself a lot more time. You're meant to just like feel into it, talk about it, and just like wait for that sudden knowing to just like drop in. But like, it's not meant to be urgent or pressured or immediate. Have you noticed that?
As you're saying that, what I'm realizing is that most of my life struggles are because I make them urgent or immediate.
100%.
And then I have to like learn the lesson.
Yeah.
And all along, I should have just let it just, because once it comes, it's very clear.
Exactly.
Very clear.
Exactly. And it's for you, because you're so sensitive, it's easy to get swept away with like a momentary thing where you're like, I'm so excited, you know? Yeah. But then like a week later, you're like, not that excited anymore. It was really fun for a moment, but like, I feel different now. And so there's something for you around like giving yourself a moment for things to settle, whereas she's meant to be a lot faster.
Can I tell you a story?
Of course.
I think the story is going to help a lot of people. Many of you know, we just built this house.
Yeah.
And I originally built this house because my ex and my kids lived right down the street. Mm. And so my heart was to be close to my children.
Yeah.
And then she moved.
Yeah.
And so it opened up the possibility of us, because like we live away from the city, yeah. Right? It opened up the possibility of us like, all right, well, we're going to move too. Mm-hmm. And back when I was in real estate, I had this story where I wanted to find a house. I wanted to find a deal that had like $1 million in equity built into it. And it was like in a gated community and was like, in the nicest area, right? And I didn't realize that that was still inside of me. Mm-hmm. So we're in London to have the baby be born. And a house comes up on Zillow or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I know prices, that ticks that box off. It's in the gated community. It's in this, it's in that. And I wrote an offer on it. Mm-hmm. I wrote an offer on it and we went into escrow and everything. And me and Jen are happy. All along, we're building a brand new house.
Wow.
Mind you.
Yeah.
A brand new house.
Same time.
Make a long story short, I never gave myself the time to really think about that decision.
Yeah.
I rushed it.
Yes.
Because I had to make it now. Because mm-hmm. if I don't make it, someone else is going to get it. Totally. And so forth and so on. And all the while inside of me, this little voice was saying like, but you love this house.
Right.
And aren't you always hopping around? Mm-hmm. And maybe this is where you're supposed to stay mm-hmm. and be, mm-hmm. you know? And so the lesson finally came and that's what happened. And we're both like, what are we doing? Like, we love mm-hmm. this place. Like, why are we doing this, yeah. right? It's like, yeah, we're away from the city, but we don't even like being around people, quite frankly. Why are we going to go be around?
Totally.
You know, all these little lessons came because of the fact that I acted too fast.
Right.
Yeah. And when I allowed it all to happen, it all just folded beautifully.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's just, and I would say for you, like the right decisions are never pressurized. So if there's that pressure, just giving yourself a moment to be like, is this really the right thing right now? But that's one really beautiful way, is like understanding how you can make decisions and therefore how you can make collective decisions. You know, we've talked a little bit about your different types. I think another piece that's interesting, I'm curious whether you experience this with Jen, is it also talks about kind of where we impact each other and where we can be really different. And so for Jen, Jen is like here to be like, have a lot of certainty. Like she can just like see a thing and have an opinion and have all these insights and like is here to be very inspiring in the way that she sees the world, as are you, but it's different. Your gift is not your certainty. I would say according to your design, your gift is your open-mindedness. You can see her perspective. You can also see that one. You can also see that one. So that's a big difference. Like it's important for you to not expect her to be as open-minded as you. And it's important for her to not expect you to be as certain as her. Does that make sense?
It does. And not allow the other person's design to impact the way that we see things.
And also to realize like these people can be the best allies when they stop trying to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, Jen can come to you and be like, show me a different way. Show me a new perspective. You're so good at that. You know, and you can be like, oh, I'm so inspired by Jen's way of seeing the world. And also like, I'm also going to explore other ways. So,
you know what she always tells me?
Yeah.
She says, you know what I love the most about you is that you're so chill.
Yeah.
Like you're so like, what is the word she uses? Like nothing bothers you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's because I'm able to just like flow.
It's so funny. One of the ways that reflectors have been described is like Teflon, where it's like things could just kind of bounce off.
Oh, nothing bothered.
You know, and that's the gift where it's like, I'm not taking it in so deeply. Like it's coming in, it's flowing out, coming in, flowing out. Yeah. So it just helps us understand all the ways that we're different. Another really cool tool with relationships is communication. Okay. So I would say, like I suggested for Jen, I would actually suggest that when making decisions, you ask her very specific questions. So instead of asking Jen, like, what do you want to do? Or where do you want to go to dinner? I would ask her, like, do you want to do this? Do you want to go here? Do you want to do that? Because that basically allows her to drop into her gut and be like, yes, no. Was you are somebody that might enjoy open-ended questions.
Yeah.
I kind of just give you a chance to kind of talk and see what emerges. And so those are really different ways of communicating.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you noticed that?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. I hope you guys are out there listening, because this is like, you know, imagine all the problems, all of the parenting problems, all of the relationship problems, all of the career problems that we could solve if we just knew.
Yeah. And I think at the very least, just trusting that like we're all so different. So it's like, let me just take the time to really understand how somebody's different than me. And like human design is one amazing tool to do that. But I think as we're talking about you and Jen, it's like, the tools it gives us are actually incredibly specific, you know, around like, this is a specific issue. This can be an area of tension. This can be a thing to communicate. This is how you make decisions. And I just find my experience is that it's so relieving for people to hear that in relationships. Yeah. You know, my partner is opposite my design in every single way, as is my daughter, because they're very similar. And that's why we work so well together, but it's because we've stopped trying to be the same, you know, and it's been a big lesson.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. How about human design in career, business?
Yeah. So useful. You know?
Purpose.
Purpose. Yeah. I think that it really helps us know how to build a career in an aligned way. I think my approach to human design is that it's not meant to tell us what we cannot do. Like, I'm never going to sit and be like, reflectors can only do this or projectors can only do this. I don't think that's very empowering. I think it helps us know what we want to do best. It doesn't limit us from certain careers. But, you know, for example, like as a projector, you're probably going to really thrive in a career where your role is really leading and guiding others and not doing all the doing yourself. As a reflector, you're probably really going to thrive in a role where like your job is offering your wisdom and your perspective on what you see. And as far as I can tell, that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I do.
You know, generators are really going to thrive in a career where like you get to go deep into something and you're just so lit up by what you're doing. And it feels like so satisfying. You like use up your energy and you're like, I am spent in the best way. Yeah. Like manifesting generators are going to thrive in careers where like, it just stays exciting. Every day is like new and different and not routine. And manifestors will thrive when like they get to innovate, they get to disrupt. I can't tell you how often I've sat with manifestors that are working at a big company and they're really struggling because they're like, I see all the ways that I can innovate this entire place. And like, I'm such a threat to the CEO because they don't want that. And I'm like, but that's your gift. Like you need to be in a place where that really.
That's right.
So, you know, I think that it lets us know our gifts, but also how to get there. You know, like we've talked about, we all have different ways of creating opportunities. Like I shared, as a projector, I'm here to be invited in. So, you know, I shared about my human design origin story. It was literally meeting a stranger who said, Erin, you would be amazing at this. Do you want to study human design with me? That is how every opportunity has emerged in my life. I quit human design in 2017. I was like, I can't build a career. I can't support myself. And then my husband was like, you're not done. Try again. And I was like, fine, you know? And so like, it's just, that's always been how it started for me. Yeah, every opportunity, you know? Whereas for you as a reflector, I'm curious if you feel this, the right opportunities emerge when you're in the right space. Mm-hmm. And so being in the right city, the right home, yes, the right community, yes, it's like, that's when the direction becomes clear.
Yes.
And so your job is not to go find your purpose. It is to plant yourself in the right spaces and around the right people and see what purpose emerges within you.
That's right. It's so interesting you bring that up, because being in this home, being with Jen,
yeah,
quite frankly, because for me, that was a big part of my journey is,
yeah,
it was constantly thinking about like, where is she? Where is she? Where? And finally, like being with her and her, yeah, energy. Yeah, that grounding, it's like, it feels like this is the year that we're going to,
yeah,
like really take off.
Yeah, 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 totally. And so it just, again, human design is not going to be a thing where I look at your chart and I say, this is your purpose. That's my favorite part of it. It's like, these are all the tools you can use to discover it. But like, I'm not your authority. I'm just letting you know how your operating system works so you can go find it for yourself. And I think that is one of the most empowering pieces of human design. But then also a lot of other pieces, our profile in human design speaks to our purpose a bit. Have you dug into your 5-1 profile?
Mm-mm.
Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I talked a bit about it before, but the 5 is around the fact that your purpose is meant to be offering very innovative, practical, disruptive solutions to the world. And you're somebody that might be really good at solving problems, but it doesn't mean every problem is yours to solve.
Mm-mm.
So just getting so clear on the ones that you feel uniquely equipped to solve. Mm-mm. And one thing that 5s can struggle with in their careers is that people can see such possibility in you and be like, you'd be great at this. You'd be great at this. You can help me in this way, that you can easily get swept away by other people's visions for you, that you actually lose connection to what actually feels like you. And so—
Can I say something? It's so wild you bringing that up, because I was speaking to this marketing guy and he was mentioning how like, you know, like someone else finally like honed in on, instead of being all things to all people, it's a normal marketing,
yeah,
you know, thought. They focus only on entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting, but like deep in my heart, though I know this has always happened, though I know that like from a business perspective, it would be great if we honed in on a group of people like entrepreneurs, like,
yeah,
in my heart, that doesn't feel like what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's that moment where my mind goes, oh yeah, that's the answer.
Totally.
But then I go, no, but like, No, it's not right for me, you know?
Well, you're somebody who's not really meant to niche down because you're ever evolving. So my guess is you might niche down and then like a month later, you're like, ooh, that feels confining because there's another part of me that wants to come out.
That's right.
And so just being like, how can I just allow myself to be vast? Because part of the magic of being a reflector is that like, you're many things. You're not just one thing.
Mm-mm.
And different parts of you are going to come out at different moments in your career, around different friends, at
That's
different
right.
phases of your life. And so really kind of allowing that. And then the other part of your profile, the 1, is around the fact that you're here to be a real investigator. You're here to dive deep into things and understand them on a very foundational level. And what makes you such an amazing speaker and sharer is that you're like, I've gone deep. I've experienced this. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, some people just like don't need that foundation. Like, you need it. It gives you security and it makes you such an effective speaker. But like diving deep into the things you love and building that foundation is so important.
And it's also like not speaking about the things that you don't know about.
100%.
Like, you know, it's really interesting. But I think this is a part of me that triggers other people.
Yeah.
Like I'll watch it happen on social media. You know, people will be like, have every certificate.
Right.
In like, I don't know, spiritual psychology,
right?
But they see in me the work that we do and the explosion that we've had.
Yeah.
Like people come to Casper all the time and go like, how did that happen? Like,
yeah.
Right? And you know, it literally just happened.
Yeah.
Literally when I stepped into the authenticity of who I really am.
Yeah.
Honest to God, that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Right? But then for the people with like all the certificates, and they'll ask me that, where's your certificate? And where did you learn this from? Life.
Yeah.
That like, no one taught it to me.
Yeah.
I went into the depths of truth.
I went
into the spiritual side.
Yeah.
I discovered it for myself, so that when I speak to you and I share with you something, it's because I've done it.
Totally.
I've done it. And the same way, like people, like one of the things people always talk to me about is like, how does this show up in like gay relationships?
Yeah.
Right? I love everybody, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
Because I've never been in a gay relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't speak about it because I don't know.
Yeah. You know? And that's such a good reminder where it's like there's not one path towards becoming an authority in a thing. But I think what's important is that you feel secure. Mm-hmm. You're like, I have gone deep and I can trust the foundation I'm standing on.
Yeah.
You know? And so whereas some people like Jen, it's not about like building this really solid foundation. It's about leaning into what comes innately, what comes innate and what comes easily, and noticing what others recognize in her and just leaning into that.
I love that.
Which is obviously a really different approach.
I love that.
So I think it gives us so many amazing tools around purpose, around how we can approach our career and businesses in a way that works for us. And one personal example, you know, when I started my human design business, I was just offering sessions. And it was great, but it also limited how much we could grow and how many people we could impact because it required me to work so many hours, which I didn't have the capacity for, you know, and that's when we launched this offering, a written report. And it was just so cool to be like, oh, this is a way for me to use my energy in such a smarter way and such a more impactful way. And being a projector is what led to that insight, you know, that like, let's grow in ways that require not me just putting in more and more hours every day. And then that offering is now we sold 40,000 of them, you know, so you just never know how that's going to unfold.
I love that.
Yeah.
So we have manifesting generators. We have generators, we have projectors, we have reflectors, and we have
manifestors.
Yeah. So I hope you've been listening and I hope you've been like guessing which one you are, right? But for those that want to like no longer guess, and they want to like get a report, like I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people who's like, I want to know, right? Because when you know, then you have the information, then you can grow, right? Yeah. Where do they go?
Yes. So you can go to humandesignblueprint.com/higher self. And there you can get a guide that is totally personalized to you. And just so you know how personalized, there are over 400,000 possible permutations of that guide because it is hyper personalized to you. It's all about how you're designed to make decisions, where you can be challenged, where your gifts are. So think of it as a book all about you. People will print it out with their partners and just have them on their bedside to look at every day.
I love that. So humandesignblueprint.com/higher self.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
So happy to be here.
And if people want to find out more about you and what you do, where do they find you?
Website is humandesignblueprint.com. And then on Instagram, I'm at Erin Claire Jones and also Human Design Blueprint.
I love that. So which one are you? Manifesting generator, manifestor, projector, reflector? I don't know about you, but to me, it's like, it's exciting. I remember when I found out about this and it was just exciting to discover, like, who am I? Go find out. Go to the link and I can't wait. I can't wait for what this is going to do for you because I know what it did for me. And that's this week's episode of The Higher Self. We'll see you next week. Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Higher Self. If you heard something in this week's episode that caused you to think maybe, just maybe, there was a higher potential for your life, maybe there was a potential to earn and receive financial freedom, to attract the relationship of your dreams, or to improve your health, that's what we specialize in. We help wonderful human beings like yourself to unravel all of the limiting thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you've been living through so that you can finally tap into your life's truest potential. If you'd like to talk more about that, we invite you to join us on Instagram or Facebook and email us the word discover more. And when my team sees that, they will reach out to you, send you the details of how we could help you on your pathway to a life of abundance, fulfillment, and creating the absolute life of your dreams. Message us right now the words discover more now on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll see you soon.